tell you so much. I can't believe I'm telling you.
And so you applied for it and you interviewed.
Yeah, I got it.
And got it. Did you have other people? Did they have other people that they interviewed, or?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know anymore.
And what did you do when they offered it to you? Did you kind of think, oh, now I've really torn it? Or was it, or did you really see it as the opportunity? I mean, you've already been assistant director, and most assistant directors want to become a director at some point.
I wanted to be a curator. You know, I didn't know what I wanted to be, quite frankly. I hadn't grown up or matured. I'd just been trying to figure it out since I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the farmhouse. It was unpacking the collection. It was opening
the facility. Sounds like projects were kind of thrown at you. You just responded.
Exactly.
You didn't get to choose necessarily.
Exactly right. And as part of that, it was, you were a curator, you were a marketing person, you were a development officer. You were doing all these things because there was just a very little staff. Again, it was there was Nancy, and then there was Mary and I, and then there became Ted, our security guard. Love Ted. Ted Milligan. And then the woman named Christy Daly, Laura Daly's
mm-hmm.
daughter. She was in there for a bit, and she was wonderful with collections management. And you know, the biggest challenge, the learning challenge out of all this was learning personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And because we were so challenged with personnel issues. So when it came down to this, by this time, by 1980, when I made named interim, I'm trying to be very careful not to make decisions that lock the institution in.
Mm-hmm.
But by 1982, well, there was another pivotal moment in here. When Nancy was still director, we had submitted for National Museum Accreditation. Oh, it took 2 years, and that was before computers, and Mary and I hand-typed everything. I can't tell many how yellow pads they filled up. Tons of them. It took us 2 years to fill out the self-evaluation form. And so then that went to Washington, and they reviewed it for 6 months. And then I was made interim, and then they wrote a letter back that said that we want to do a site visit, and you've been approved for that, so do you do that? I sign off on it right away and send it back and say, sure, we're going to schedule it, and this is when you're going to come. 2 months after I sent that letter back, they had sent copies to the president's office, to Dr. Parks. And Dr. Parks says, we're not doing this without a full director in place because we won't pass. Well, by this time, they're practically here.
They've bought their plane tickets.
They bought their plane tickets, and so it was. We went into this accreditation site visit with great reluctance on Dr. Parks and Carl's side of this. And, okay, fine. They came, we did the site visit. It looked great. We had UMAC. I formed the University of Museums Advisory Committee, which I dearly loved. Again, out of figuring out, what do we need? We need mm-hmm. input from around the university. Formed it, and they worked hard. Loved that committee. Formed in 1980. And they helped us and entertained, and we did around, and August came back around, and late August, and I was at home painting my house. I'm a messy painter. I paint all over me. And I got Mary Collins had come in. The letter is here. I hadn't opened it. The letter's here. Came in, raced in, opened the letter. We've been accredited. Not only were we accredited, we were accredited as the most efficient museum accreditation ever.
Ever. Wow.
Ever.
Could you frame that?
I took that letter.
I would have.
I took that letter and I raced. And again, I've been going into Carl's office a lot and as a student, and he was more like my dad. And I raced past Kay, the front desk, and I'm in paint clothes and I'm waving my letter. Carl, what happened? We got accredited. And he was excited. He got up. We had a hug. And Dr. Parks was sitting across the way, and I didn't see it. And Dr. Parks was just, he was just so ecstatic. It was like this group hug.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, paint goggles, and they have paint on them now in their suits. And so, you know, we went through a lot of trials and tribulations, but they were incredibly supportive through all mm-hmm. of this. So when we got that accreditation, and I think it was a revelation to Mary and I,
yeah.
We're not only good here, mm-hmm. we know what we're doing. We may have learned it the hard way and not the most efficient way. Mm-hmm. We pieced it together, but that accreditation was a hugely validating thing for us. And it actually gave me more courage
mm-hmm.
to go on with that leadership position.
Right. When did you basically create University Museums as an entity? when basically you have, because it's got three components. I mean, basically, mm-hmm. when do you feel that that was really created?
About the day after I came in.
Yeah, that's right. Not.
Been thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. And it was obvious. Office. It was obvious.
I was working at the farmhouse.
Yeah.
I was working over here.
Mm-hmm.
There were them two pivotal actions that took place. The Art and State Buildings law.
Right.
Was 1978.
Mm-hmm.
It took a couple of years for those interim rules to be done. The first couple of projects were actually administered at Iowa State through the Applied Art Department.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the Education and the Horticulture Building. And I went over to Horticulture one day, and the dean, and we were talking about something totally different. I had nothing to do with Art and State Buildings. And this is somewhere around 1981. And he showed me the artwork that they had bought. And it was basically calendar reproduction artwork. And they'd only spent $800 because it had four different colors of matte frames, matte colors. I kept my cool, kept it together, immediately walked over to Carl's office and said, Carl, we can do better. We can buy original, for $800, you can buy original works of art, and they're just not getting the advice. I said, there just can't be that much difference between a museum collection and a collection that's in the public dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And we can track it, we can care for it, we can educate it, we can do it just like we do the Brunier.
It can be special for Iowa State as opposed to, you know.
You know, and we can buy original works of art.
Uh-huh.
We have so little money to buy artwork with. We had no acquisition budget at the Brunier, and yet we have this opportunity, and we're paying $800 for a mat and frame and $5 for a piece of calendar art that you could
make in your...
Yeah. I was outraged. I was like, fine, have at it. I said, fine. That's how we got...
Mm-hmm.
And Applied Art didn't want to do it anyway. They it was a different thing than what they do. John Sontag was heading it up, and he was incredibly gracious.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really want to do it. That wasn't what they did.
Right.
But it is exactly what museums do.
Mm-hmm.
And other than having it in your storeroom,
it's just out on
campus. Out there. But you still curate it, you collect it, you manage it. You mm-hmm. care for it, and you educate with it. So it just was a natural thing.
Just kind of a natural expansion in a lot of ways.
And then the next thing that happened all within the same week was I was sitting in a meeting. I don't even know what the purpose of the meeting was other than I was not at the table. I was one of the peripheral people that was being called on for something. But anyway, Dave Lent, who was Carl's, and if you haven't interviewed Dave, you need to interview Dave. He was with Carl for years. He was assistant to Carl, and he had been through all of this development of the Brunier and the farmhouse. He knew part of our existence on a daily basis, and he said at that meeting, he said, what this campus needs is a museum. And I was stunned. I kept sitting on the corner wanting to raise my hand saying, excuse me,
not one,
excuse me, you have two, excuse me. And I, you know, in that setting, you don't say anything out loud. And again, I was hot from the Art and State Building thing, and I really got hot on that. But this is an image thing.
Mm-hmm.
These are great people. And we just needed to provide the answer and not just rant, which is what I was supposed to doing. And so it's like, okay, we're going to change the name. So that day, I changed it to Brunier Gallery Museum and Farmhouse Museum. That day.
Mm-hmm.
Came back and said, this is it, and our title is University Museum. University Museum was composed of the Brunier Farmhouse, and just wrote it out, and sent it over to Carl for approval. Came back next week, okay, Carl.
Okay.
It was as easy as falling off the ladder. That hard at all. Was that hard at all.
But so important. Especially to kind of have all those three programs coalesce together.
Yep.
Now, I don't know that